This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, overlooking Greater Oahu. The lead stories are Integrated Public Alert and Warning System, or IPAWS, test is scheduled on October 3rd. SpaceX first moon voyage customer, Yusuke Mazaya, or Mazawa. And next, purportedly, a bribe of up to $2,000 can get a bad product review removed on Amazon. And of course, Apple released iOS 12 today. I want to welcome you to episode 1312 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, September 17th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I may have gotten the episode wrong. This might be 1313. Who knows? But anyway, hey everyone, welcome to the show. I got a great show lined up for you. All of you that are brand new to the show, welcome here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thank you for being part of the Ohana. And of course, it's, you know, I think the best part of being part of the Ohana is you have the opportunity to stay connected with me here on a regular basis. And to do that, it's real simple. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, subscribe to the show. Just go ahead and click on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts via email, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, whatever your listening pleasure is. And of course, if you scroll down a little bit on the website, you can get signed up for my newsletter as well, where I deliver the basically everything I cover in the show via email. You just get a delivery. It'll be in your email inbox every Tuesday and Friday morning with all the show notes, with everything I cover in the show. And then, of course, it's also a reminder that the podcast is out and available. Of course, once you're done that, it's real simple. Just stay subscribed to the show. You can watch the show, of course, on the Apple TV. You can listen on Blueberry.com. You can use your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. That'll get you on an Amazon device, a Cortana device. Oh, I just woke it up down there. Or even a Google Home device. All those can play the show as well. Of course, we're live. Yes, we are live right now and start a little early tonight. I'm available at live.geeknewscentral.com. So you can come over and join there. That's YouTube Live. Of course, I'm on Facebook as well. So either place to watch the show is a great place to hang out. You can join our chat room or Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat. That's a great way to get connected with the Ohana and hang out as well and provide commentary. So a few of you are over there giving comments. Of course, you can join our Slack channel as well. We have a Slack channel that's an option. The Slack channel, in my opinion, is probably more intimate. Did I say that right? So if you want to be part of our Slack channel, just drop me an email. You can follow me on Facebook. Our partner shows include The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site at progear.guru, the New Media Show at newmediashow.com, or the Podcast Legend Show. All these shows are linked at Geek News Central. Of course, if you want some cool wear, if you want some shirts, t-shirts, stuff like that, cafepress.com/Ohana store. And I almost forgot, of course, email geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. All those ways to connect with me is a great way to stay abreast of what's going on with the show and to provide feedback as well. But I tell you, this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And if you want to pick up deals with GoDaddy, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All those deals on that page are exclusively mine, and they are exclusively reserved for you as part of this listening audience or your friends and family members. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be 99cent.com, whether it's these two great deals for hosting accounts, $1 a month economy hosting, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, plus you get a free domain with that for $12. You're in online, building an empire, building your blog, building a keepsake, building a podcast. It really runs the gambit. So definitely check it out. geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can also, if you're a business owner, 1 month free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. Although, again, all those, again, are available on my website. Come over, grab the code, plug it in at checkout, or more easily, just click the link and go. Share these codes with your family members, friends that you know, people that you work with. Let them get these savings as well. This happens quite a bit. People help their friends save money on getting online. And just remember, every time you use one of my promo codes, it keeps this podcast online and our independent writing team employed. And again, you're supporting a small team of independent content creators by using one of the promo codes. And again, your support will help us in that effort. And I want to thank all of you that support and share those codes again with your friends, family members. And of course, subscribing to the podcast gets you all the updates on what's going on in the tech world. I try to bring you a great show. Hopefully it's a value for value. Again, if you don't want to pick up a GoDaddy product, always consider becoming an insider. geekandcentral.com/insider. Okay, so let me get into the stack here. Some of the stuff I wanted to talk about beforehand. First, heart goes out to the storm victims. And of course, a lot of you are dealing with a lot of water because of the flooding. Lots of folks are still without power. I've been there, done that. I understand how painful that is. So a lot of our Ohana is not even able to tune in if they wanted to. So we keep our fingers crossed to get your power back on soon and start the recovery effort out there. Also today, something that I did, I haven't done in a long time. And this is something that's going to be more indicative or more, well, maybe that isn't the right word to say. I'm going to start writing again on GNC. It's been a while since, you know, I've relied on my writing team to do a number of pieces and put up content. But I think it's time that I put my voice back on the front page of Geek News Central a little bit more. I think it's important. You know, I've talked to a lot of podcasters about making sure their voice is impaired on the blog and what they're doing. And while the voice of this show is obviously mine, the voice on the actual written word has for a long time been my writing team. And they're great, don't get me wrong. But there's just some stuff I think it's time for me to become re-engaged at Geek News Central from a writing standpoint. So today I put up a couple of articles, talk about Chinese industrial espionage. That was one of the pieces I put up. Also talked about, is social media making us sick? Kind of talked about my experience, and we've talked about it on this show a little bit about how I feel, how social media is affecting folks. I talked a little bit about how it affected me. And of course, I talked about a new announcement coming from Amazon talking about they're flooding the market with 8 new Amazon devices, everything from a microwave oven to some in-car accessories, a variety of different things, but they're bringing as many as 8 new smart home devices that won't all necessarily be in the home. So those are 3 articles I wrote up today. Of course, one of our team members wrote up an article about the iPhone XS. And so, you know, again, I'm going to be putting more focus into doing content on the blog. I am going to try to bust out at least 1 article a day. Now, I may not succeed, but that was kind of the internal goal I put back upon myself as far as putting my voice back on the website. And I think that's important. Hey, Dan, thanks for joining us live. Appreciate it in the chat room there. And if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, make sure you say hello. Please do so. So yeah, the writing on GNC is part of my overall come back to, you know, back to ground zero, I guess, basically with the website and the show, and talking with Kirk a little bit on chat today. So I would expect within the next week, we're going to have Kirk's new podcast launched. It's going to be called GNC Week in Review. So that's completely up to Kirk on what he does with that show. And I think it'll be a fun show for him to do, to cut his teeth and really get in deep and do a weekly show. But I am open to having one more show partner up with right now. So we're going to get Kirk launched, get him going, get his website set up. But I'm open to one more show. So if you have an idea for a show and you want a line here at Geek News Central, let me know. And I think that's something that we've had a couple of shows that went by the wayside over the past couple of years. And I really haven't refreshed and put new shows on the front line of the website. And I think it's time to do so. So definitely drop me a line. Let me know if you're interested in participating or doing a show with me or on part of the GNC family. I'm really, really up to it. So I still owe some emails, some folks that said that they were going to help with some blogging and some writing of some individual pages. And what I'm trying to do there is I'm trying to nail down a number of product areas that we can put on the website that will allow you to support the show in new ways. And there's going to be some stuff done with Amazon. I've got some of that kind of in play. I purchased a commercial plugin to put on the website, so we'll be looking at that. But really the goal is to give you guys one-touch opportunities to come in on a periodic basis. And it may be only one time a year you come in and say, I'm going to rent a car, or I'm going to get an airline ticket, or I'm going to go and use my link. And basically, some of those deals, example, an airline ticket, I might earn 3 or 4% on your total price of an airline ticket. So if you picked up a $1,000 airline ticket, that's still a decent return back to the show. It's almost like writing me a check for a year as being an insider. So it's going to be little things like that we're going to add to Geek News Central to give you guys the ability to come in and support the show. And that's part of the stuff I'm planning to have help with the writing team and putting some stuff together. I don't know if I'm going to do it on Geek News Central. It may be a site that I launch that will be associated with the website that you guys will be able to go to, and everything is a direct response that you'll be able to, and we'll have, you know, maybe weekly, daily deals type of thing. So again, this is all about trying to help the website, help try to continue self-sustain the show over the long haul here. So anyway, that's what's up. And I've jibber-jabbered enough here. I'm going to get into the content. My son is still in town. So I started the show a little bit early tonight because in about 46 minutes, well, more than that, about an hour from now, I need to roll out of here to pick him up. And so it's going to be a late evening wrapping things up. My wife just flew in from South Korea. She was over there with some girlfriends for 2 or 3 days. She's zombied out. So up to me to run and pick the kids up. All right. So let me start off by talking about this new alert system. This is the first national test of the integrated public alert and warning system called IPAWS. And a lot of people are like, oh, the president can tweet or can text us all. Well, he's not going to be sending you a campaign notice or anything like that. That's not what this is designed for. And it's a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. It is a way for the national authorities to send us a message, whether it be FEMA or something to that effect, some national event. And so every phone, every cell phone with a wireless carrier that participates is going to, and that's over 100 participating carriers, are going to get a message on October 3rd. It was originally supposed to go out on the 20th, but it's been rescheduled to October 3rd at this point. So we'll see what happens here. And they're basically delaying the alert because of the bad weather that happened on the East Coast. They don't want to be sending anything out while people are still in recovery mode and everything else. So this is kind of exciting to see this happen. But there's a bunch of pundits out there. They're thinking they're just going to get texts from the president saying, hey, reelect me or whatever. And no, that's not the case. All right, moving on here. Interesting article in New York Times. And I only get so many views a month free. I don't subscribe to the New York Times, nor I probably would. if I had the extra budget to do so. But there's an announcement by SpaceX talking about the first customer. And these Japanese names, I should be able to pronounce them. This is horrible. Yusuku Maezawa. Maezawa. So Maezawa. And if Shoke was in here, she'd slap me. But anyway, he is the first customer for a voyage around the moon aboard a SpaceX rocket. His intent is to follow in the contrails of American astronauts who first looped the moon in 1968 aboard Apollo 8. And this was announced at an event in L.A. This is an expensive trip. It could cost at least tens of millions of dollars, if not a couple hundred million. And it hasn't been announced when, but this guy is a entrepreneur. What company does he run? I think it's a clothing company. He's a founder of the online Japanese company Zozo, which I'm not familiar with, but apparently he's got enough cash to make this happen, to write the check. And I have to admit, one thing you never see is an armored car following a Hearst, right? So if you've got the dollars to do this, why not, right? If you're rich and, you know, some people say, oh, you should donate it and feed the poor. And yeah, that's noble too. But the geek in me said, if I had that kind of money, I'd probably, well, I don't know. Would you guys do it? Would you guys take the, let's say it cost $10 million. And you had 12 in your account. Would you spend the 10 to be shot around the moon and back? Or would you just watch it on pay-per-view? So what would y'all do? If you had the money, would you do it? You know, the way I look at it, this merry-go-round only goes around one time, right? We have one life to live. We have to live it to the fullest. So I think I'd have a tendency to want to do it, to be honest with you. I don't know. I'm torn. It's never say never, right? Because you never know when you hit the lotto or the big spin in Vegas or something to that effect, right? Of course, I don't think they have jackpots big enough in Vegas to pay for this deal. But it's exciting to consider that you could if you had the money, right? Now, the question is Elon Musk going to go? You know, is he going to make the flight? And one thing I did notice about this picture that they've got on the New York Times, Elon Musk looks a little weird in this picture. And a lot of rumor going around about him right now. So we have to keep an eye on Elon Musk. I think we should. I don't know if the pressure is getting to the guy or what, but maybe nothing at all. But let's keep an eye on him and see what happens here. This is crazy. Amazon is looking into claims that employees delete bad reviews for cash. It's being reported that some merchants have paid up to $2,000 for these employees, what they're calling secret services. These removal of bad reviews in exchange for bribes is according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. The report claims that Amazon employees have been revealing sales information, deleting negative reviews, and offering up reviewers' email addresses in exchange for money from third-party Amazon sellers. Typically, these interactions have been facilitated by intermediaries that seek out Amazon employees who are willing to offer such services. Now, here's a weird one. I'm always getting emails from Amazon merchants. And of course, I have a tech site and I do reviews, but I'm always getting emails from Chinese merchants saying, will you review my product? And it typically is like a $19.95 whatever. And I've turned those away at this point. If you have a substantial product you want to review on, yeah, but don't send me a $19.95 gadget that really, if I'm going to do a review, is it even justified, right? So, this is definitely under investigation by Amazon, but it's being said that it appears that while some instances have been traced to U.S. employees, the practice reportedly pretty rampant in China among Chinese Amazon employees. Now, how big is Amazon in China? I thought Alibaba had China locked up. But in China, Amazon employees in China may decide to participate because their salaries are low. And Chinese sellers may pay up in order to get information that can help them better position their merchandise on Amazon or to contact those who have left a negative product review. So some folks have gotten $80 to $2,000 depending on the specific service. So this is kind of crazy if you think about it. You know, Amazon's had to battle fake reviews and counterfeit merchandise for a while, but now with people removing negative reviews, that makes you go, just a little bit, because I often, when I'm looking to buy something and I don't know who the company is or how well the product is rated, I will scroll and look at the reviews. And if I see, if you know, a number of negative reviews, I, you know, that throws a flag for me. But if they're having negative reviews removed, it basically ends up in us making bad decisions. So anyway, we'll keep our eyes peeled on this and see where it goes. But pretty crazy, if you ask me. All right, today, Apple released iOS 12. While I was doing show prep tonight, I did the update on my phone. And then immediately reminded me the Apple Watch needed an upgrade. So I started that push. So the Apple Watch is on the charger and my phone is in the bedroom. So by the time the show is done, I should have both those updated. But really, iOS 12 brings faster performance, supposedly, for older phones, new Siri shortcuts, screen time has been updated. There's a new screen time app that basically records how long you're using different apps, and that's been in Android for a while. It's got a revamped Maps app and more. And, of course, the emoji thing that's out there and a variety of other different services. My son was playing around with it, and he said, oh, cool, it's got a tape measure now. And I'm like, what? He says, and I was laying on the floor, we were just talking, and he says, don't move, Dad. And he measured from, I had kind of had my feet folded. I was laying on my side, and he measured. He says, you're laying on the floor. You're only taking up 4 feet, so many inches. And I'm like, really? So we used a tape measure feature in iOS 12. And I'm like, oh, great. Now we're going to have people doing measurements with that. But it's supposed to be enhanced for faster and more responsive experience. All supported devices back to iPhone 5 and the iPad Air can be upgraded. The camera, quote unquote, launches 70% faster. The keyboard appears to be 50% more responsive. So, but the real question here for me is Siri any better? Can Siri actually understand me? Because Siri's been sucking lately, in my opinion. Compared to Google Translate and Siri Translate, or not even translate, just voice to text. Huh. Hands down, Android wins by many, many magnitudes. So, and that's on a, you know, Samsung Galaxy S8, probably not even with the most current Android operating system. So anyway, whole list of features here. It's 100 different changes. I'll have them linked up in the show. None of us pay attention to that, right? We just get do the update and see what's new. I think that's how most of us explore what's new in any update. But just think about it. We're on iOS 12, version 12. Of course, Apple Watch OS 5 is out. It's got a new walkie-talkie, the podcast app. Also, the podcast app now supports chapters. And my guys were talking about it in Slack, and they're like, oh my God, no. Here comes the support tickets. So, you know, that, and of course, the podcast app is on iOS or on watchOS 5. That's a good thing. So if you update your watch, you're going to be able to listen to the podcast here right on your Apple Watch, right on your treadmill. You don't have to have your phone with you no more. So don't forget about that. Now, this walkie-talkie app is basically, it performs a push-to-talk communication with other folks who use wearing wearable devices. So that's kind of cool. So after connecting the Apple Watches together via the app, one person can press on the screen button to open the line of communications with their message automatically playing aloud on the recipient device. So I'm kind of curious how that's going to work out. So we'll play around with it a little bit here. By the way, if anyone wants to make me an offer on my Series 3, it's got a little bit of an upgraded finish on it. So it's not the bottom of the line. It's kind of the middle of the line. I think I paid $649 for it. If any of you want to make me an offer on my Apple Watch, drop me an email here. It is for sale. All right, moving on. Amazon Fire TV experience is built right into Insignia television. So any of you that are looking to pick up an Insignia TV, Amazon has partnered with Best Buy once again to begin offering Fire TV functionality. Early during 2018, Best Buy announced that it would start selling Toshiba smart TVs with Fire TV experience built in. But now this is expanded to the Insignia line. The original Toshiba Fire TV Edition television started at $329 and came in 43, 50, and 55-inch sizes. So what's new here? The new Insignia Fire TV Edition televisions, oh, same thing, $329 for a 43-inch, $379 for a 50-inch, and $449 for a 55-inch. That's a pretty good price, really. So they're exclusively available at Best Buy's website and on Amazon. So don't go to the Best Buy store now because they don't have them in stock yet. So just be aware if you want to pick one of these up. Twitter is going to soon let you switch between chronological and ranked feeds. This is interesting. This is a price change as to how it shows tweets to its users following a viral thread earlier today that discussed ways to reverse the platform's algorithmic, that's me destroying English again tonight. Tonight is a full of destruction of the English language. I don't know what it is. I'm tired. I'll be honest with you. It's been a long day, but no excuse here. But anyway, now you have the ability to uncheck the setting box to show the best tweets first. Twitter will completely revert your timeline to basically a non- they won't apply a logarithm to it at all, and it'll be in reverse chronological order, which is how Twitter was originally designed and operated. So many times I go into the Twitter app, and sure enough, there's like Casey Neistat and a Neistat and four or five others that have a lot of retweets and a lot of, you know, love buttons been pushed. And I've always wondered, okay, why is he always at the top of my feed? And that it kind of explains it. So I like seeing everything, you know, this, and I think that's good for the, especially if you don't follow a lot of people, you know, if you have a smaller following list, it really allows you to see, be more engaged with the people that you're following. I think that the big challenge that I've had with Twitter is to get anything really seen, you have to run an ad campaign against it, and you have to spend some money, you know, and I've done a few tests like $25 or $50 and seen the type of responses I've gotten on certain tweets that I really wanted people to see. So maybe now with this change, those of you that are following me, and if you don't have a big follow list, you'll be able to see the tweets more often. I don't really want to advertise to people that aren't following me. That's not important to me. Although I'm seeing stuff in my feed all the time that I'm like, and how do I block you? And I don't want to see you in my timeline. So this is good. So we'll see when this happens. Is there a date for the rollout on this? Oh, Twitter's been planning this update for some time. And when is this going to, does it say when it's going to roll out? Apparently soon, if it hasn't already. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that for you and we'll let you know. Okay. Hey, if you're joining the live stream, make sure you say hello in the chat room, whether it be on YouTube Live or on live.geeknewscentral.com or on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. Of course, those of you on live stream watching, thanks for being here as well. All right, the president today hit China with another tariff increase of $200 billion in goods in an escalating trade war. And really, what's going on here? I think what we're seeing is that China has a lot more to lose than we do over the long haul. And with the economy on fire right now, he's got a little bit of leverage. And he's got to be careful, obviously, I think. And I'm no trade expert. And this is just me kind of looking at things. He's gotten a lot. He already, you know, the NAFTA thing was redone. And he's reworked some deals here. But he basically is putting tariffs on $267 billion worth of imports if China takes retaliatory action against certain groups. And he only put a 10% on starting on September 24th, and then we're going to roll it up to 25% on January 1. And the reason for the staggered increase will partially reduce the toll of price increases for holiday shopping. So we'll see what happens with this. I know a lot of people are not in favor of trade wars. They're not. But, you know, part of the piece I wrote today on Geek News Central really did kind of talk about the Chinese industrial espionage and IP theft. And we've talked about this a number of times on this show and how I'll go to some of the trade shows and I'll be standing in a Fortune 50 booth and in will walk four or five Chinese individuals and one will be carrying a camera, another person will be carrying a notepad, another person will be carrying an audio recorder, and they will go up to a booth or up to a brand new product, pick it up, and they will sit there and snap, continuously taking pictures upside down, inside, taking pictures of the menus. They will open every compartment that they can open. They will, and someone's sitting there writing and they're all huddled together talking. And in about 5 minutes, they'll be done. And they'll put the product down. And one of the first ones that's in the group, he'll have already targeted the next product in that particular booth and they'll walk over there. So I've been in booths before where I've seen individuals come in like this and the exhibit staff actually pull out covers. They actually pull out product covers and they will cover in front of everybody. They'll cover up a table to not allow these groups that do this to come in and basically have free reign on a product that may be being introduced and not yet on. Because when it's on the market, they'll just buy one, right? And they'll tear it apart. But when it's several months away from actually coming on the market, they have enough time to go back and reverse engineer and duplicate and copy and put that product on the market nearly ahead or at the same time as the company releasing a product did. So it's always drove me crazy to see this. And I see it every show. As a matter of fact, I'll go to small booths that have a brand new product and I'll warn them. Hey, be careful. There's a four boost down. I saw these guys are in there. You know, maybe I'll pull the product back off the table until they go through your area. Don't let them touch it. Because sometimes the products are just prototypes. They're not even real products. They don't have a menu or nothing. So what I'd really like to see happen is with these escalating trade wars, let's put some penalties on these folks for intellectual property and copying and all this stuff that happens, you know, stealing the mind, you know, what's been created here. And it drives me nuts. It really, really does. And does this happen in reverse where American companies send someone into a booth and do the same thing? I don't know, but it's very, very apparent when you're at a trade show and you see these clusters, and it's usually five people in a cluster that go around and booth to booth to booth and do this. And it's very specific. You can tell they're organized and they know what they're targeting. So maybe has nothing to do with the tariffs, but it'd be sure nice to see some sort of impact put upon this intellectual property theft. Hey, Greg, hello. Welcome to the show tonight. Good evening. Need to catch up with me, my friend, and tell me how we're doing or how you're doing with that other deal, where we're at in that. Also, moving on here. And this is Kevin calling the kettle black here. The FCC boss has slammed the new California net neutrality law, branding it as illegal. JitPi has slammed a net neutrality bill approved by California earlier this month, calling it a radical anti-consumer and illegal. That's pretty strong words. Now, those of you that don't live in the United States, let me just give you a little government lesson here. The states have their own legislative bodies. They make their own laws, make their own rules, have their own business decisions. You know, it could be as simple, you know, in the old days, some states you could drink when you're 18 and some states you could drink when you're 20 and some states you could drink when you're 21. It was different from state to state. Same thing about like in Texas, obviously very gun pro, you know, very easy can get a concealed carry as compared to here in Hawaii. Sure, you can still go buy a gun, but you're not going to get a concealed carry. So each state to state has their own rules. And they're allowed to self-govern. They govern themselves. Then they're not supposed to have a lot of interference from the federal government, although that area has gotten gray over the years. Because there's a lot of federal laws that kind of supersede some state laws, and it's a little bit, it's not as separated as it used to be. But for the federal government's FCC chairman to tell the state of California that their net neutrality rules are illegal, that's pretty bold statement here from him. Now, he claimed the law would prevent California consumers from buying many free data plans, represents micromanagement that poses a risk to the rest of the country. We'll see. And I'm sure there's going to be some legal challenges of this law as well. You know that the companies in California are not going to go down without a fight. And maybe some companies that are doing business in California will leave California and go to a state that is more business friendly. That could happen as well. So we'll see where this leads. And, but it's pretty bold of him to make those comments, especially since the FCC has washed their hands of any requirement to protect citizens from cable companies when it comes to internet access. So, of course, there really wasn't protection even when that was in place because it really hadn't been put in place. So we'll see where this goes, but pretty strong words coming from the FCC chairman in bashing the state of California. A cool space shot, and you'll have to load the article. But a view from the International Space Station put the landmark of the Great Wall of China into some serious perspective. And, you know, they've always said you can see the Great Wall of China from space. Well, you can. And there's a myth. Let me see if I can bring this up for you. There's a myth out there that the Great Wall of China is one of the few things you can see from space. Well, there's a lot of stuff you can see from space, but it's very distinctive. And a Russian cosmonaut caught it today, got a picture of it, and shared it. It's a pretty cool picture, in all honesty. And matter of fact, to me, I would have thought, just looking at this picture, that it would have looked more solid. It kind of looks like there's shadows. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to review that. Let me know what you think of that picture. It almost to me doesn't, it almost looks like power lines between towers, but we know that's not the case because there's no way you could see a power line from that altitude, but it is pretty cool. And anyway, I'll have that for you to take a peek at. How many of you have tried the new Google Fit app? How many of you are confused about heart points? Well, you're not alone. And the folks over at Lifehacker are trying to do some deconstruction to make you understand what heart points are within Android. And they apparently they represent a minute of moderate exercise, like brisk walking, of which the American Heart Association says you should get 150 of those per week. Now, if you don't exercise at all, brisk walking, you probably easily get a point. But if you're already in shape and you're a runner, are you really going to get any points? But anyway, Google Fit awards heart points accordingly. If you walk 30 minutes, you get 30 heart points. If you run 30 minutes, you get 60 heart points. Either way, you'll make the American Heart Association happy if you earn 150 heart points a week. And you can change your heart point target and everything. So being that I only use the Apple Watch fitness program, I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on whether or not the heart points are working out for you. I heard about this earlier in the week, and I was questioning what was going on. Apparently, that if you purchase a movie on iTunes, and you don't download it and put it in a safe place, you may lose that movie that you purchased. Now, this is a unique situation. This gentleman bought a couple of movies in a different country. And when he moved to the United States, he lost access to those movies because he had not downloaded them because the licensing was different in the U.S. versus where he was before. But at the same time, there has been some people that have lost movies as well that they have, again, a purchase where you've purchased $14.99, $9.99, where you purchased a movie. Be sure to download and store them in a separate folder. And I think that you de-link them from iTunes. It looks like you still can watch them. So the good news is the app seemingly won't be deleting movies from your library. The bad news is some downloaded content may disappear if you move to a new country, which I think we all understand. But it's still, if you had a DVD and you move to another country, you could still watch that movie in your DVD. Now, if your country classification changed, it may be a problem. But I think digitally, if you store it offline or store it on a separate area, you won't lose it. But that's kind of the case here. That's kind of the talking point that they're sharing at this point. Or as I said earlier in your show, Amazon is reportedly making a microwave and seven other secret smart gadgets. So we'll see what happens here. And what it really does, if you think about this, you walk up to your microwave. Yeah, you got a piece of pizza, right? Let's say it's pizza you want to reheat. You got it on a napkin because you're not just going to put it in there, right? Of course, if it's like my house, do you have a cover over the top of a piece of pizza? And you shake your head and you know you don't, because you know you're going to run it for 45 seconds and the pizza is not going to explode onto the roof of the microwave. We've never done any of that, right, fellas? Well, anyway, if you think about it, you walk up to your microwave, you throw the pizza in it, and you say, hey, Alexa, reheat for 60 seconds. And bam, your microwave takes over and reheats for 60 seconds. That, my friends, is cool, because oftentimes you go up to your microwave, and unless, you know, if it's in your home, you know how to use it. But if you're in someone else's place, you're like trying to figure out where's the reheat button, or, you know, defrost or whatever. I think that would be pretty cool to have the ability to talk to your microwave to make it do some of those, reaching up and beep, 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 and setting it up and, you know, the best thing they ever introduced on a microwave. I remember the first one my mom had. The thing weighed about 500 metric tons. And it worked for years. That meant microwave lasted 20 years before it had to be replaced. Microwaves, you're lucky if they last 5 years. But anyway, he had a little knob on the front. And there was like three selections, and you just flipped it to the time and hit start. And it was good. I remember later on, I had a microwave from, believe it or not, JCPenney's or someone's like that. And it, you had to be almost like a rocket scientist how to fix. The best thing that was ever introduced on a microwave was the one minute push reheat button. That was the best innovation in microwaves. So anyway, that's one of the things they're thinking about, is having a voice responsive microwave. But the problem is, all right, I have a Amazon device in the living room, and my kitchen is an open kitchen that looks over the living room. So if I have a microwave on the counter and I tell the microwave via the keyword to reheat, what's the other Amazon device going to do? It's going to say, I don't know what you mean. I was watching a video yesterday that had some demo going on, and I had to keep reaching. I had to reach over here and mute or turn the microphone off my Amazon device here in the office, because it kept responding to the video, and it was pretty annoying. So that's why I'm trying to be careful during this show not to reset your smart home devices. Or if you're listening to the show and I say, hey, Alexa, you'd basically stop the show, and then you guys yell at me later. And I've gotten a number of those emails over the past couple of years. So anyway, ultimately, you can see what Amazon's trying to do here. They're flooding the market with gadgets. And if we have a couple of those devices in our home already, and you add a couple of more, all of a sudden you don't need a Google Home device. You don't need a Cortana device. You're dialed in. You're locked in. So we'll see where this goes. All right. Report out that Google Dragonfly links phone numbers to search results. Okay. So this is about the Chinese search engine. They had about 1,400 employees complain to Google about it. But I heard an interesting perspective the other day. Someone said, so what? Google's in business to make money. So what that they're going to China with a search engine that can be throttled and censored and tracking every move that the person makes on the search engine? I thought, wow, that interesting perspective. But according to Intercept, Dragonfly is thought to go a step further than just censoring search results. Anyone in China using Dragonfly will have their personal phone number linked to the search. In theory, that means if a blacklisted word is searched for, Dragonfly would have a record not only of the search, but the phone used to make it. The Chinese authorities could then choose to follow up or actively monitor the individual more closely if they wished. Yes, that's what happens when you live in communist red China. Greg says, hey, wading the vortex, but still well above water. Well, that's good. What about the S thing, Greg? You know, I'm trying to talk cryptic here, not to let too much information out of the bag. All right, top 35 apps for Windows 10. Do people actually use apps with Windows 10? You guys know I'm still using a Windows 10 machine, right? When I travel, I have one with me. I have one in my bag every day when I leave the house. And call me crazy, I run around with two computers. But there is a bunch of apps people that are installing. The Chrome, Opera, Firefox, Skype, Pigeon, Thunderbird. People are still using Thunderbird email. AIM, that one, really? I thought that was dead. GIMP, there's a free paint program. Foxit Reader, there's some stuff in here. These are all some of the top apps that are being used by Windows 10. So some good ones on this list. Malwarebytes, love that program. I use that on both Windows and Mac machines. VLC, another great one. iTunes, Handbrake. Handbrake, I use Handbrake a lot on Macs. I didn't realize there was a Handbrake version for Windows. So pretty good list of free apps for Windows 10. Link will be in the show notes. All right, say goodbye to password anxiety. Free Password Manager simplifies and organizes your online life. You know, I'm a pretty big fan right now of the, I think it's called, let me, I got to load it here. Open my vault. It's LastPass. And I've used LastPass for a couple of years now. And I like it because it's easy to sync across multiple machines. Whatever browser I have open, whether it be Windows or Mac, I can get to my passwords really, really well, real easily. And I've had pretty good luck so far with this particular password app. So I think these password apps are kind of almost a dime a dozen now. And you just kind of pick your poison. But there's a new one out called Cyclonis, C-Y-C-L-O-N-I-S. And again, it's cross-compatible across multiple machines. I really don't have a lot of information with these about these folks, but they say the password wall is encrypted with AES-256. And you can store the vault on Dropbox, Google Drive, OneDrive, or iCloud. So you don't have to use that app's repository. You put your file wherever you want. So anyway, pretty interesting. Cyclonis. Anyone using that one already? Love to hear from you. Also, those of you that have the Amazon device that has the monitor on it, you're going to soon see photos provided by Getty Images. I'm not a big fan of Getty Images whatsoever. I've had a run-in with them in the past. The site I'm using right now for images for Geek News Central is called Unsplash at unsplash.com. Most of the pictures over there are royalty-free. You can use them on blogs. I always do the attribution. You don't have to, but it is kind of nice to do that. But if those of you have one of the Amazon devices that has a screen, the Echo Show, which is the one I have here in the office, you'll see the responses and have cool images supposedly provided by Getty. All right, AMC is making it even easier for you to use the Stubbs A-List subscription program. Members now will be able to get movie tickets through Fandango and Atom tickets. The company launched A-List, its answer to MoviePass, in June, and through the 3-movie-per-week plan costs more than what MoviePass was offering at the time. 1 movie per day for $10 per month. It also features a few perks that MoviePass lacks, such as IMAX and 3D showings. The subscription now is $20 per month. You can snag tickets through the third-party apps. Users will just need to plug in their A-List membership number during checkout. So, if you have an AMC in your neighborhood and you like going there, this is maybe an option for you. All right, if you're a bug hunter, you do a little bit of coding, playing around, Facebook is offering bounties for reporting bugs in third-party apps. So not just their stuff, but third-party apps as well. So bug bounty programs are big. I paid for some bug bounties at Blueberry before. But again, this is something that Facebook is offering now to third-party apps. How many of you have heard about Cinema? S-I-N-E-M-I-A. It's a $30 unlimited plan, tries to fill a MoviePass-shaped hole. So this is another service that's out there. But Cinema is bringing back unlimited plans for subscribers in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia. You can get it for $30 per month. So that's triple the price of a MoviePass, of course. But it says they can sustain their business on that. Not at $9.99, which I find probably they've got the right price. But $30, you got to be dedicated on the movies to get your money's worth out of that. All right, there's a good review for the Samsung Galaxy Tab S4 on Uber Gizmo. If any of you are interested in that particular tablet, I'll have that up in the show notes for you. Also, There's an update to the Google Calendar calculator. Version 7.5 has been updated with new material theme UI. Looks pretty slick. You know, the one thing about calculator, do you guys find this? When I'm using calculator on my desktop, I invariably close that thing out way more. I'm working on it, and then I switch back to my browser, and I go back to the calculator, and it's not there. And like a knucklehead, I had closed it after doing a calculation. Am I the only one that does that? But anyway, Google Calculator version 7.5 has been updated. Also, over on Deals of the Day, over at Kinja Deals, score 60-inch 4K TV for just $398. This is available from Walmart. It's from Hisense, a Chinese company, but still a pretty good deal. 60-inch for $398. I'm not going to give you any guarantees on how well the screen looks, but decent price. Amazon Fire Tablet 7 is down to just $35 right now. That's a $15 discount, so and it's a little bit lower than Prime Day. Also, I love USB chargers, and the more plugs, the better. For $17, this is a deal. This is a deal. You get a 10-port USB charger for $17. It's from Sabrent. Again, probably some Chinese company that's put this together. But $17 for 10-port. Yeah, buddy. Because we're all running out of charging ports all the time, aren't you? Also, there's a, because many of you just went through a storm, you're probably thinking about, and if you just dodged the storm, okay, what's going on here? Brew. My son is using the word brew. You guys know what B-R-U-H? There's a YouTuber out there that uses brew. I won't go any deeper than that, but it's one of Casey Neistat's buddies. So if you're looking at being prepared for a storm, the $29 Eaton portable weather radio and phone charger is available for $28.94. So obviously got some deals here. And this is a new site that that Kirk has found. It's called Thrifter, thrifter.com. Again, my goal here is Kirk is finding some deals for us. And I want to pass these on to you so that if you see something here where you save some money, say $10 or $15, I want you guys to be inclined to make an intern. If I save you money on something, you can come back and make an insider donation, right? That's the theory, at least. And I'll be putting the deals always at the end of the show from now on. That's where we've been putting them, all right? All right, there's a SanDisk Ultra 64 gig dual USB flash drive, $20. That's a sale that's going on right now. Also, Anker has a $13 dual USB car charger, has Bluetooth and an FM transmitter built in, $12.99. I'm a big Anker fan. Again, this would be a complete radio replacement as well. That's kind of cool. And finally tonight, this isn't a deal, but a woman's Samsung Galaxy Note 9 started smoking and caught fire while she was in an elevator. And she was in, this happened in New York City, and she's suing Samsung. And so we'll see where this leads, but it occurred just after midnight on Monday, September 3rd. The woman, a real estate agent, was in an elevator in Bayside, Queens when the alarming episode happened. And she heard a whistling, screeching sound. And noticed thick smoke pouring from her purse. And she put the bag on the elevator floor and tried to empty it, burning her fingers. Don't grab stuff that is burning. Come on now. And when she reached the lobby, she kicked it out. And the mobile didn't stop burning until a Good Samaritan grabbed it with a cloth and plunked it into a bucket of water. So this is one of the first Samsung Galaxy S9s we've heard burning up. All right, let me go ahead and bounce into email here. Got a long one that came in. I got an email from Rick. He says, "Hey Todd, I've been listening to GNC from the beginning. Awesome. You've been here from since episode one? And this is your first email? Where have you been, Rick?" But thank you for the email. He says, "You said the days of real news is gone across the entire marketplace. I hear what you're saying, but don't completely agree with that. I would reword that to finding news that is accurate is very tough, but it can be done, but you have to work at it and most don't. Not sure which CBS show you're watching. It was the morning show where they're all sitting around a table and talking. He says, well, you were at Midas, but in general, news shows have moved in two directions. One, they're more about entertainment. Two, they speak more to one audience, conservative or liberal, not to everyone. He said, I grew up in the era of Cronkite, Huntley, Brinkley. Today, people listen to Hannity on the right and Maddow on the left. They are both far from Cronkite. But you know what, though? I'll interrupt your read back or your email here for just a second, Rick. The problem is, when Cronkite was on the air, we really had no way to know what they were shaping the news with anyway. We could have been fed a line of beep, beep, right? And never known, because there was no internet. There was no way to third-party verify. Maybe we'd get a newspaper, maybe it would cover. But I would contend, and maybe I'm wrong, that the news has been manipulative to an extent for a long time. Maybe I'm wrong, because I grew up, Cronkite was pretty old, and I wasn't watching news as a kid, so I might be wrong here. But anyway, I'll go on. He says, I grew up in the era of Cronkite, Huntley, Brinkley. Today, people listen to Hannity on the right, Maddow on the left. They are both far from Cronkite. This started with cable news when CNN covered the Gulf War, showing the news could get high ratings. Before that, news shows were lost leaders. You ask if your audience is turning to podcasts to get news. He says, I would say yes, but not necessarily for a good reason. The podcast world is even worse as far as polarization goes. Alex Jones is exhibit one on that. Absolutely insane individual, yet he has lots of followers. Very scary. So I fear that many people turn to podcasts to hear what they want to hear, not to get facts. But yes, there are also podcasts that have real news. And we've talked a little bit about Alex Jones on this show already and my concern about people have a right to say what they want to say. I just don't have to listen to it, right? I think we all are in agreement with that. That's what this country allows people, the freedom of the speech. He says, I'm a conservative turned liberal. So far, what Maddow says over Hannity, so I favor what Maddow says over what Hannity says, but the way both of them say it, I really don't like. I just want to say to both, just the facts, please. They can't do that no more. They have to interject their opinion. The ultimate problem, which is going to bring the USA down, no exaggeration, is a huge population of ignorant people made that way because of news feeding them alternative facts. One of my favorite sites in the world is factcheck.org. Here's a chart of the bias of news sources from MarketWatch. I would agree that the AP and Reuters are the best. I follow them both on Twitter. Thanks, Rick. And I won't read his PS because he left that note for me, but I think that we can agree that shows are entertaining. But why can't they? I still don't think that the major television networks as a whole, right, left, in the middle, I don't care. I don't think they tell the truth most of the times, or they bend the truth to their liking. And, but again, we can't have dialogue anymore, right? Can't. People are afraid to even say hello. They really are. People are afraid to say, even whisper their opinion, because they get abused. You know, there's a study that was just announced. Where did I hear it? Oh, I read it or something, where now 44% of folks on the left are making political post on Facebook, whereas only 4% of conservatives are making posts on Facebook. And it's largely because that 4% is scared to death of the 44% on the left coming in and pummeling them. So I think that's a whole different topic that we don't want to get into in the show, but it just kind of shows where things are right now. But it's just one of the other reasons why on the post I put up today on Geek News Central on how social media, in my opinion, you know, I really got to thinking about it before I was going to put down what I had to say. What I have found on Facebook is not only do I find myself being repulsed by some posts, but I also almost get sick to my stomach. And that's why I've tried to throttle back as much as I can. It's impossible to completely throttle back. I'm as guilty as the next person for stuff, putting stuff on Facebook, but I'm trying to keep it non-political, is the just the pull. It's like the crack pipe, you know, like Facebook is kind of like crack for IT geeks. You know, we love this stuff, the social media and this interaction, and we're getting, I think they say there's a trigger that happens in the brain. We're getting endorphins or something, but long story short here, we definitely are being affected by it. And I think we all have to be real, real careful of the amount of time that we're spending on social media and getting exposed to stuff and causing, I truly think that there's folks who are going to be affected mental health wise, and me being physically being sick by all this stuff that's in social media on the TV and everything else. It's just always war. It's always just war. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm going to wrap the show up. geeknews@gmail.com. If you think I'm giving you good value here for the show, geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's my pleasure to bring you the show. We'll be back here Thursday for another live show with a release on Friday morning. Don't forget. And make sure you are subscribed to the newsletter. That way you'll get the announcement of the show just being put out. Those of you who have been down with me on YouTube and on Facebook tonight, thanks for hanging. And again, finishing the show just about the time I normally start it tonight. But I did get a text from my son. I think I have to immediately leave to pick him up. So everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone, take care. Aloha.